something about them singing than me speaking. You know, what's up with that? Good morning. Yeah, thanks so much for just waking up a little bit. It's just, I know it's that hour, and trust me, I'm going to go get my hour back in a little bit, and I hope you will too. Go get you a nap, but this morning, don't do it while I'm speaking, okay? So, because I see everything from up here. I'm not omniscient of everything, but I know when you're sleeping out there, okay? So don't pull the prayer card. Oh, just pray and run. No. I get it. I know. Been there, done that. Hey, thank you for being here for this third week of our series called Famous Last Words. And we're looking at the famous last words of Jesus, those last words that he spoke as he was giving his life for us. He was there, and there were some key things that came out of his mouth that allows us to really see who he was, because it really, I mean, we know the last words often reveal the deepest part about us, and we want to know, what did people say right before they passed away? Well, these are the words that Jesus gave us right before he gave up his earthly life, and so we want to make sure that we look at those and learn from them. And so last week, we looked at how he said, God, why have you forsaken me? And the week before that, it was looking out at the crowd who had basically hung him there, and said, God, forgive them. And so this week we want to look at some really key pieces of it, in the sense of him just crying out and saying, it is finished, and making a declaration that is human history changing. And we need to hear the significance of it and understand what it means for us. So we pick up the account of Jesus' crucifixion, and it's right after. There's one important piece that he says here that we just didn't have time to go into at this time, but he looks out at John and said, the disciple that he loved, the disciple who had followed him, he looked at John, and he said, woman, behold your son, and son, behold your mother. And he was talking to Mary, his mother, and letting John know that he needed to now take care of Mary for him. A very significant piece to it, that Jesus, even there about to give his life, was still thinking about other people and making sure that they were cared for. And so just a quick lesson for us to know that we need to care for people and love them regardless of where we are and what we're able to do. So we see that happening. But in John chapter 19, verse 28 and 30, we see Jesus here upon the cross. And it says this in verse 28, later, knowing that everything had now been finished, so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I'm thirsty. Now, why did he say he was thirsty? Well, I got to believe that part of it was Jesus knowing that the prophecy said that he would say that he would, that he would cry out that he was thirsty, and knowing that there were other pieces to the prophecy that would be fulfilled, and we find that in verse 29. It says, a jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're thirsty and you think vinegar would be the thing that you would want to have in your, that is just nasty, right? And so that there was some significance of them, they weren't even done messing with him yet. Even with his last breath and the last request, they were still trying to dig at Jesus. They give him this sponge of vinegar. But when he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now, it says when he had taken the drink, he went on and accepted what was given to him. But then he after he did that, he said, it is finished. And this is one of those power-packed words that he used here that really opens this whole thing up to us. It's the word that he used there. It's tetelestai. Tetelestai is the word in the original writing that would have really had a significance in the time. He knew that everything was done that needed to be done for those in the crowd and for those who would come later for their sins to be paid for. that everything was done that needed to be done. He knew that this was the moment of completion, that it was finished. And tetelestai is an important word to understand there, because it has really three different meanings that we see in the scriptures. The first one that would have been recognized at the time and understood by the people seeing this and hearing this would understand that it would be used by a servant. A servant returning to the master and saying, it's finished. The task that you gave me is now done. So we see this word tetelestai, which could mean, hey, the task is finished. It's over. It's everything's done. The second way that it would be used would be by a merchant. That a merchant would have a stamp. And when a bill was paid in full, when someone would come in and pay off whatever they owed to the merchant, he would stamp it with a stamp, and basically that would say, tetelestai, it's paid in full. There is no debt. There's no debt remaining. It's done. It's finished. You don't owe me another thing. The third piece that we would see here would be when someone would bring in a sacrificial lamb or animal before a priest, they would inspect the animal to make sure that it didn't have any blemishes about it, that it was, in fact, a perfect sacrifice, that it was able to be accepted. And they would declare tetelestai, that this sacrifice is worthy and it's complete and the animal is perfect. Now think about this. Here's Jesus hanging on the cross, nailed by his hands and his feet, beaten beyond recognition, and he's hanging there and he cries out, tetelestai, it is finished. What was he saying in these moments? Well, think, here's the servant. We know Jesus came to serve, not to be served, that he came to give his life on a cross. Here's the servant who's completed the task that the master has sent him to do, tetelestai. Here is Jesus hanging on the cross, giving his life to pay the debt of our sin in full, tetelestai. And here's Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, the one without any blemish, without anything about him, no sin, no error, no nothing about him, giving his life on the cross. See, that sacrifice was perfect. Tetelestai. We see this word and we see Jesus cry it out as we go through, and we understand that now the sacrifice has been made, the debt has been paid, and there's nothing else owed. It's finished. It's complete. There were so many things about it. There's nothing left to be done. Jesus has paid that price in full. This Lamb of God has been slain for our sin, and we owe no more. Nothing needs to be added. No more. We don't have to worry about all the other stuff. We don't have to worry about how good we can be. We just need to understand that Jesus paid it all. It's been finished. It's accomplished. Now listen, there's a couple of you in here that have been a little vocal. That's good. But let me tell you, when I saw that the Carolina Tar Heels had won the ACC championship again, man, I got all excited. And I got jacked up about it. And I didn't even get to watch the game because I was here last night doing a wedding. So those of you that probably watched it on TV, you Carolina fans, and there's a bunch of you here, you know, even maybe some of you Duke fans, at least yelled because you wanted Virginia to win because y'all were at home watching it on the couch. But anyway, that's a whole other story. But listen, y'all got nuts about that game. For some of you, maybe you don't care a thing about basketball, but you saw a sale, and you got excited about that, right? Oh, that was against ladies. Oh, no, it comes to email. But here's the thing. We get excited about all kinds of stuff, right? There's all kinds of things. Maybe some of you don't. You don't get excited about nothing, but you need Jesus. That's what you need. No, but the thing is we get all jacked up about all kinds of stuff, and then the pastor stands up and says, man, it's finished. The price is paid. We don't owe any debt. Man, Jesus paid it all. We you know, it's good. We don't have to do anything to earn it. No, no, no. And we... Come on, y'all. That's some serious stuff. That's like, well, that's the stuff we ought to get jacked up about. We ought to be, there are like 50 posts on our page about, on Facebook about Jesus paid the price. Y'all still ain't, okay, never mind. No. Don't do it now. No. That's all fake and stuff. Don't do it now. Y'all need to go home. The altar better be full this morning. That's all I know. But here's the thing. Jesus came and did all that for us. He fulfilled all these prophecies that, do you realize the number of prophecies that had to be fulfilled for Jesus to be who he said he was? Do you understand that all the things that were said hundreds of years before Jesus ever stepped foot on the earth that would be said about him and would say the way things would go, and then to understand that they would go that way? Do you know what the odds would be for that to really happen? You see, you hopefully got a handout here that there are 27 prophecies that Jesus fulfilled about himself and about the things that were said. That when he came and lived, those things were completed. They were things that he couldn't even control on his own if he wanted to, if he was just trying to be the guy. These were things that had to be done. Now, can you just imagine what it would take for that to happen and be in place? But Jesus fulfilled those things. And so we know just by the fact that he was able to do what was said he would do, that he is who he said he was. So we should be excited about Jesus. We should be excited about him. He came and he finished his business. He came and finished the task that had to be done that you couldn't do for yourself, that I couldn't do for myself, and he came and he did it. Thank you. Yes. Me and you'll get excited. So that's good. So here's the thing. He finished all of it. But the reality of it is, he finished what needed to be done, but you and I have unfinished business. He may have done everything that needed to be done, but you and I have unfinished business. You need to understand the truth that you and I have it. As long as you live, there will be things that you need to do here. There will be things that I need to do here. We don't have to do anything to earn salvation. We don't have to do anything to get into heaven on our own works. We don't have to, there's no little, checkoff list. There's only the fact that we need to understand that Jesus is who he said he was. He is who God said he was. And he came and did exactly what needed to be done for you and I to be able to be forgiven of our sins, set free from the bondage of those, and to be in heaven for eternity with Jesus Christ. He did that for us. We can accept it, but there is still things to do. Jeremiah 29:11, there says, God has plans for you and for me. There are plans for us, plans to prosper us, plans to give us a hope and a future. So that means that there is unfinished business for you and I as long as we are here. There are things to be done, and we need to be ready to do them. We have unfinished business in our lives right now. They may be very small things that need to be done. There may be little things that we've left hanging, but let me tell you that there are things in our lives, if we're going to be all that God wants us to be, that we're going to need to complete. You see, it only takes one small unfinished business, one little small piece of unfinished business to make a big mess in our lives. And oftentimes, that's when we find ourselves in trouble, is when we've left something small unfinished and it blows up into something big. You ever seen a balloon pop in slow motion? I mean, you take a little pin and you poke it in a balloon that's blown up. Does it just leak air out of that little hole? No, it pops, right? And so that little bitty hole becomes this huge tear that just blows the thing apart. And oftentimes our lives are like that little pinhole. We allow things to poke in there that we don't deal with and we don't work through and take care of. And man, it blows the whole thing apart. And so there are unfinished things in our lives that we need to be aware of and be prepared for to be able to do all that God wants us to do. God wants to speak to us, and he wants us to address those small issues that are unfinished. In Revelation 3, verses 1 and 2, we learn about one of the churches there that were written to. And it says this, I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen. Yeah, really. Wake up. I told you I was going to wake you up today. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. In other words, we may have a reputation of being alive, but the reality is inside we're dead. You know, oftentimes we look at things on the outside and we think they're one way, when in reality on the inside they're a whole nother way. So what about you? So maybe you have a reputation for having a really good marriage and people look at it and say, man, that's a couple that loves each other and everything else. But the reality is you're miserable inside because you've left something undone that has blown up into something big and you've lost the intimacy in your marriage. See, you look good on the outside, but when you get home and you're together, it's miserable and you don't want to deal with those things. You've left something undone. Maybe it's your finances. And man, it looks like you got it all together. You got a good car, you know, good house, you got good clothes and all that stuff. But the reality is, like your checking account, it's on life support. You know, your credit cards are so full you can't even fit them into your wallet. They're just blown up with stuff. Your bills, you can't pay them, and there's things there. You may look like you got it all, but the reality is you're suffering and you're struggling. Maybe it's spiritually. Man, and oftentimes in the church, we see people looking spiritually like they got it all together. But then when it really comes time and there's a challenge that comes into their life or something that they have to face that they weren't expecting, they fall all to pieces. And it's because they didn't have the foundation they needed to really be able to do the things that God wanted them to do and to handle things the way that He wanted them to handle it. There's no intimacy, there's no relationship there. And so there's unfinished business. And if we want to hear the call to this church into our lives, it's wake up. If things aren't being dealt with, if there's unfinished business in your life, you need to look at it and you need to begin to deal with it. You need to complete the task that you've been given. You and I need to make sure that we're doing all that we can. We're going to mess up. We're going to fail. We're going to let each other down sometimes. Things just aren't going to go the way that we really want it to. There's just going to be moments like that. But the reality is if we can do everything we can to prevent them, the less that we're going to fall, the less that we're going to have to struggle, and the less that we're going to have to see things go the way that we didn't want them to go. Paul said this in Acts 20, verse 24. He said, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Listen, we may have unfinished business in dealing with things. We may have unfinished business of doing things the way they need to be done. But let me tell you, the biggest unfinished business that we have is telling people about what Jesus has done. We have left that undone. It is unfinished. As long as we exist here, we will always have people that we need to be able to tell the message of the good news of the gospel of Jesus to. It's why it's a key piece of who we are as a church, that we exist to help people develop a love for sharing the good news of Jesus. Because we have unfinished business and we need to be willing to tell people about Him. If you got breath in you, you got unfinished business. If you call yourself a follower of Christ, let me tell you, we have unfinished business. God's not done with you. Maybe, and here's what we need to do. You need to identify what your unfinished business is. Because we've got it. You've got it. I've got it. But we need to be serious and take some moments and really identify what those things are. Because we can't fix them and we can't deal with them until we identify them. And so I gave you some space on your notes there to be able to write those things down. Take me up on that offer. Be serious about it. It's not a thing between me and you. It's a thing between you and God. What is it that's unfinished? What have you left hanging out there that you know that He wants you to deal with? For some, it's just getting plugged in here. You know, you've been coming to church. You've been coming to URI for quite a while, and it's like, I really like it. You got really comfortable chairs. Somebody told me that this week. Man, y'all got really comfortable chairs over there. Yes, maybe they're too comfortable. You know, maybe they really are just, you know, they're just, they fit, you know, the old tush too well. You know, maybe we need to stick in some wooden pews or something. I don't know. Maybe that would get us, you know, you can't sit so long. I don't know. But you've been coming and you just haven't committed to anything. You've committed to being here, and that's awesome. I'm glad you are. But let me just tell you, there's a lot of things that and opportunities here for you to be plugged in and finish the business of being what God wants you to be, of using the skills and the talents and all the things that he's given you to be able to use it to serve other people. See, here's a hard piece. It's if you come and you sit and you never serve, here's what happens. You become a consumer. You become a consumer Christian. Because all that happens is you take in, but you don't give back. And the reality is that we're all called to give back. And I know what happens. It's like, Ron, you know, I'm really shy. I just don't really like people. I don't like being around them. It makes me nervous. And listen, I sweat all morning because I'm nervous in front of a bunch of people. But you know what? God called me to do it, so I just do it. And y'all just have to forgive me, you know? But the reality is if most of us in the room, if we really were truthful about it, we wouldn't want to be around anybody all day. But we have to go to work, right? And so we're around people, you know, does anybody not go to work because they're afraid of people? I doubt it. You know? But listen, I'm telling you, the benefits and the pay plan of serving God, hey, it's way better than any check you get from work. I'm telling you. When you die, the checks from work are going to stop. You know, the checks from eternity, from having a relationship with Jesus and being good, you know, good at following him and listening to him, man, I'm telling you, the heaven is a good place. You're going to love that. And so serving him is not something that gets you there. Heaven is something that you do because you're going there. Serving is a part of being able to just enjoy heaven here on earth. And so we need to be able to serve. You've got unfinished business here if you're just coming and not serving. All you got to do, listen, if you don't like people, come tell me. You know, I don't like them most of the time anyway. I'm just kidding. You know, don't
Pastor doesn't like people.
Anyway, here's the thing. I got something. You can come type stuff in the computer for me. You know, if that's all, if you don't have to be around nobody, I won't even bother you. I'll just tell you what to do and you can do it. I mean, just we'll find something for you to do, but there are things that can be done that allow you to give back to the church and to give back to the community and give back to God who has given so much. Don't discount service as just something for everybody else to do. It's part of your unfinished business if you call yourself a follower of Christ. Now, I know that's going to get you a little bit. That's okay. All right, so you thought I was going to apologize, didn't you? I'm not apologizing for it. So here's the thing. Maybe for you, your unfinished business is financial. You know, maybe you just know you've left some holes in your financial game and that you just know there's some things there you need to deal with. You know, you keep spending and more than you make. Man, that's a hole. You know what that hole will do? Sooner or later, that will pop your balloon. It will tear that sucker all to pieces. You need to be prepared to plug it. And be looking for ways to do it. If you need some help with that, come let us know. We'll work. We'll get you in and take you through Financial Peace University or whatever it is that we can help you with. But make sure that you don't leave those holes. Maybe it's your marriage is suffering. Listen, don't suffer silently. Don't suffer till you finally get to a place where, you know what, you just had enough and you gotta leave. No, that's not what God's looking for from us. Come and let's get you plugged into something that's going to help you grow. Help you to begin to see things the way that he wants it to see the biblical plan for what marriage is really supposed to be. Maybe there's somebody that God wants you to reach out to. Maybe your unfinished business is being able to share the gospel with somebody that you work with or that you live beside or, you know, whatever. Maybe, God forget, maybe it's somebody you live with, you know? But maybe he's got that for you to be able to share. I got to tell you, it's that there's unfinished business for all of us. And let the presence of God and his voice speak to you. You know, for some of us, that would scare us to death to hear God really pushing us to and showing us what he wanted to do for us. But the reality is that's where we should all want to be and desire to be because that allows us to finish strong. And that's what our ultimate goal should always be, to finish strong. The Bible teaches us two principles that we can apply from going to finish strong. And here's how we do it. The first one is to commit to a finishing decision. Commit to a finishing decision. Make a decision to step across a line and just say, you know what, I'm going to commit to something. I know that's like a cuss word in our society, is to commit to something. I get that. Now, I struggle with it too. How many times I've committed to lose weight or committed to eat better, you know, all those things, and it's still a struggle. I get it. It's hard to do. But we have to commit to a finishing decision. I heard about a guy that got interviewed, was up for a job. He was in the interview, and the guy said, you know, I really want to hire decisive people, and so I need to ask you, are you a decisive person? And to which the guy said, well, yes and no. Y'all will get that later, okay? So anyway, he didn't get the job and y'all didn't get the joke, so it just works out. Anyway, but you'll get it and you'll realize that you got to say, it's a yes or no. You got to answer the question and make a commitment. I think for so long, I think that is one of the pieces that holds people back from the church. You know, we address that issue of, you know, a lot of people coming and not serving, but let me just tell you that maybe you've been hurt in church. Maybe the church has hurt you. Maybe somebody in the church has not lived up to your expectations, whatever. But let me just tell you that the fact is that you can't base your relationship on God, your relationship with His church that He called the bride of His Son Jesus. You can't base your relationship with it on a person. You will always be let down. I'm going to let you down. Somebody else is going to let you down. I promise it's going to happen. But you can't put your hope and your faith into the person. You got to put it into the one that it's all about. And He never lets you down. He never forgets you. He never forsakes you, leaves you. He's always there for you. And so don't give up your relationship with the church because of a person. It's never going to, you'll be bouncing from church to church always. Listen, I'd be gone if that was the case. But we got to understand that there is a commitment that's got to take place. We have to make a decision to commit to something and stick with it. Our decisions, they make who we are. You're where you are today because of decisions that you made yesterday, and you will be where you are tomorrow because of decisions that you will make today. No decision is a decision. Let me make sure you understand that. No decision. See that little waffling thing? That's a decision. That's a decision not to commit. That's a decision to be a weenie and not commit and just take a shot at it. All right? Don't text that or don't post that on Facebook. The pastor said you're a weenie. Please don't do that. But it's true. I've been a weenie many times because I just wouldn't commit. I wouldn't give myself all to it. And I'd hold back. And you know what, when you make a decision and a commitment and you don't give it all you got, you know what you got? You got a mess. Because you're not going to finish it strong. You're not going to finish it well. If it gets done, certainly God can do it through you. But the reality is if you'll commit and we'll go after it, then it will be done well. Jesus illustrated that. He said in Luke 14, verse 28 and 30, he says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and you are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. So what do you do? What do you do when you have to make a decision? Listen, it's been tough. We've been making decisions here trying to allow the church to grow and to move forward and to reach more people. And there are so many things we want to do in this community that we haven't been able to do. And we've been trying to make decisions based on the budget of the church. And let me tell you, if you notice in your program, we put the budget in there and we tell you what we need. And we're honest about that. We just say, hey, here it is. And if you want a copy of the whole budget of what included in that, man, I'll give you that and we'll be glad to talk about it. But the reality is here's what we need every week and here's what we get. Here's what we've needed to this point of the year, and here's what we've gotten. And let me tell you, if you look at those numbers, just if you hadn't seen it yet, just peek at it sometime today. And just look at that and say, you know what? What if this was my household income? What if this is what I needed to have my house and my car and feed my kids and all this, but this is what I got? What would you do? I mean, something, either somebody's going hungry, somebody's walking, somebody's buying a tent. And for us as a church, listen, there are decisions that we've got to make that are based on this is what we need and this is what we got. And so there are going to have to be some, we're going to have to make some changes, and we're going to have to do some things here differently at the church because, listen, I know we're called here. I know this is where God wants us to be. I know there are people in this community that need to hear the gospel of Jesus. There are people that need to be cared for and served and all the, I know that. Would anybody disagree with me on any of those things? No, we know that. But the reality is, that's what we need to do, but here's what we can do because of where we are. And so we're going to have to make some decisions. And man, I'm going to have to make some tough decisions here about the church. And I got to commit to them when I make them. And they're going to be tough to do. I can't weenie around about them because they're things that affect the eternal life of people in our community. And so we're going to have to make decisions, and we're going to have to go with it. We've got to consider the cost. Because if we don't consider the cost and we don't consider what we where we're at and what we have, then we're going to have to, then people, you know, it's not going to get finished, and people are going to look at us and they're going to say, man, that's just another church that just didn't have it together. That's just another church that, example, that, man, God really isn't who he said he was because they couldn't do what they said they were supposed to do. Now, I'm not okay with that. I don't know about you. I'm not okay with that. We're going to have to make some decisions so that we finish. And so for you, you got to make some commitments to finish. That may mean that you got to make some decisions about how you give to the church. I'm not making any bones about that. That's just the reality. I know talking about money in church is tough, but the reality is if it's got to be done, it's just got to be done. And here's what it costs to do it. So we have to be honest about it. We got to be straight up. I'm never going to tell you that things are all perfect and flowery and fine. We're not all rainbows and lollipops around here. Things are tough. And we've got to be willing to do what it takes for the church to be the church. We know who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And some of you are keeping his cows. Maybe you need to go sell some of them. Maybe I need to go sell some of them. Well, we've got to be willing to make tough decisions and commit to those finishing decisions and see what he wants to do with it. In Luke 22:42, Jesus said, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. You talk about a commitment. Talk about a finishing decision. Jesus said, God, I know, man, if you could do it another way, I want you to do it another way, but if this is the way you want to do it, I'm committed to it. And I can tell you, that's where I'm at. As the lead pastor of UR Community Church, I'm committed. This is where we're at. And we're going to do it one way or another. But it's going to take all of us to do that. The decisions we make here, let me just tell you, the decisions we make as a church in this community, they can affect hundreds of people's eternal life. I mean, be real about that. I mean, sometimes we get in our own little bubble in the church and we say, oh, it's just, you know, things are good for me. You know, I got my comfy seat. But the reality is it's not about the seats that are filled in here always. It's about the seats that aren't filled. If you've accepted Christ, listen, you're part of the body. We love you. But our unfinished business is taking the gospel to other people. And we got to be willing to do that. So here's what happens when we make a finished decision. It motivates you to endure short-term pain for long-term gain. If we make that decision, Whatever it is for your marriage, for your finances, for your parenting, for whatever job you take, if you make a finished decision, listen, it can motivate you to endure short-term pain for long-term gain. Sometimes we can endure some of the hassles of life if we know there's a long-term gain there for us. Hebrews 12:2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen, I heard this really cool thing on the radio today, and it was talking about so often that we talk about, have you ever ridden with somebody who tailgates people in a car? You know, kind of, my wife was in here, she would be like, both hands. She's not talking about me, though, of course. But if you've ever been with somebody tailgating somebody, man, they'll scare the mess out of you. You know, you're over there hitting that imaginary brake, about to push your foot through the floor, trying to slow down or whatever. And sometimes, that's what we do with our problems. We get so close up on them, and we begin to look. That's all we see is our problems, and we get so focused, and we can't make decisions because our problems are like right here. But what that scripture says is if we look out and look at Jesus, the perfecter of our faith, the one who's in control, who has it all made, and who does control what's happening, if we will take our eyes off of our problems and look at him, then, man, things get so much better. And we begin to see things way bigger and way better than if we just got our problems stuck up on our nose. This says that we can, if I got my eyes up here, I can endure some short-term pain because I know there's the gain. So we got to get our problems out from in front. So make a decision that you know Jesus wants you to do and go after it. Because here's what happens. It diminishes negative influence. Man, there's a ton of that to go around. There's a ton of negativity to go around. And sometimes we're all just as guilty of it as anybody else. But if we'll keep our eyes focused out there on him, the perfecter of our faith, and trust him and believe in him, then listen, the negative stuff gets quiet. Our ears get spiritually plugged. We don't have to listen to that. Here's the second way that we finish strong. We execute finishing actions. We commit, we make a decision, and then we go after it. We execute. Anybody remember Popeye? Anybody? You Popeye fans? Come on, you be honest. All right, so if you eat your spinach, what happens? You're strong to the what? I'm strong to the finish because I eat my spinach. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. Toot toot. Right? You can't do it without the toot toot. You got to have it. Y'all won't remember nothing else I said today except I sung Popeye. I promise. But here's the, remember it. It's okay. Remember it. Because if you keep your eyes focused on Jesus, you'll finish strong. He'll be your can of spinach. All right? You got to be willing to finish strong. Do what needs to be done. Eat the spinach and finish strong. Doot, doot. Yep. So you commit, and then you got to execute. Don't talk a good game. I'll be honest with you. Gabe, don't you say nothing. Sometimes I'm really good at talking a good game. I know that. Because I got dreams, and I got a hundred things right now. I could write on a piece of paper 100 things that I want our church to do. And there are 100 things that I don't just want the church to do. I believe God wants us to do them. He don't want us to do them all at one time. I do. All right? But there's 100 things that I believe our church could do to make this community better and to see people change for all eternity. But we can't do it. And I certainly can't do it all by myself. And so I got all these ideas. And I got all these things that I want us to do. And sometimes I'm really good at just, we get in a staff meeting. I just, throw them up all over them. And I say, we're going to do all this. And I'm making a commitment. But I stink at making an action to follow it up because there's just so much of it. Because we lack people, we lack commitment from outside. I mean, there's a lot of reasons. But we got to execute finishing actions if we're going to see these things happen. And so I'm going to quit trying to give so many ideas, and I'm going to try to give more actions to get them done. So, but I need help. I need some people to come alongside and, you know, to give it away to be a champion of it. Because some of you guys are so much more gifted than me. You're so much more gifted than Gabe or Eddie or Miss Bobby. You know, maybe not Miss Bobby, because that's a pretty big task there. But listen, you guys are gifted. You do this stuff all the time, and you could come in and, man, we could just tell you what we want to see happen, and you could, boom, you could do it. You could lay out the steps and get people to help. Listen, I ask people to help all the time. Nobody helps me. But you can go help, ask, and they'll help you, I promise. They don't help me because I'm just the pastor, and they think I'm supposed to ask. And they think they're supposed to say no. I think that's the way it works. But if you ask, they would help you. So listen to what Paul says here. He says, now finish the work. You are a community church. Now finish the work. There's work to be done. A year and a half ago, we all were in here. Most of us that were here then, we said, man, there's work to be done. And we're going. We never got there. So that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. There we go. So there's some means. We're trying to do what we can do right now with the means that we got. And I'm telling you, we ain't going to get those 100 things done. So we're going to do what we can do. But I'm telling you, there's so much more we need to do. Finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it. Listen, we got to get excited about it, and then we got to finish it like we're excited about it. And so I ask you, we say we exist to help people develop a love for God, a love for others, and a love for sharing the good news. Right? That's what our mission statement is. You're going to hear, you've heard that, and you're going to hear that over and over again. But the reality is, does our willingness to do it match the completion of it? I think we're struggling right now. I think some of the reasons we're struggling financially, the reasons we're doing it, it's not because we're not giving. I mean, we could probably all give more, and that would be really cool. And if you're not giving, I believe you should be. That's up to you, okay? But the reality is we're not struggling because we don't have money here to do it. We're struggling, I believe, because our willingness to do it isn't matched by our completion. We just don't have the commitment. We're not committed to those things, those three things. If that was true, then we would come to Wednesday night Bible study. We would be finding a life group to get plugged into. We would want to have that in our lives to love God more. If that was the case, then when we have projects, then people would show up to go serve other people because we love other people, then we would make time to be here to serve. And if that was true, listen, you guys would come in on Sunday morning and say, man, I got to tell you about this person I led to Christ this week. It's so exciting. I was at the gas station. This guy asked me, we started talking, and I ended up sharing about Jesus with him, and he accepted him right there. Been a long time since I even heard one of those stories. It's not that you're not sharing, but maybe we're not sharing enough. Maybe we're not committed enough. Man, I know you didn't come to church to get beat up today. I didn't come to beat you up, but I did come to share the word with you and hopefully encourage all of us to say, you know what, maybe I can make a little bit more commitment. Maybe I can do this. You know, some of the stuff that I don't get to do that I really want to do is because I get stuck doing stuff that somebody else probably could really do for me. And same thing with Gabe. We ask a lot of a part-time student pastor and part-time now children's minister. We ask him to do a lot for what we pay him for and expect from him. I mean, just be honest with you. It's almost criminal. Not quite. Okay, just kidding. But it is. So we need teams. We need people to come alongside and help. We need to finish what we start. We need to commit to these things, and we need to go with it all we got. That's when we see God do amazing stuff in our lives. Some of us haven't seen God do anything because we hadn't committed to anything. I've been there. I know what it's like to just think I'm doing everything okay because I'm just showing up. But listen, if you show me anywhere in the scriptures it says just show up, then I'll shut up. And I ain't getting quiet, y'all, because it's not there. We're challenged to do it. We need to finish the race. I love the story of the 1968 Olympics in Mexico City. There was a runner named John Stephen Aquari. He was from Tanzania, and he was a long-distance runner. And he started out in the run, and not far down, he fell and injured himself very badly. The ambulance, so badly, they had to put him on a stretcher, put him in the ambulance. Race goes on without him. Race finishes. And about the time that the last finishers were doing, they heard some commotion over the ambulance was there, and the door pops open to the ambulance, and out comes John Stephen Aquari, and he begins to finish the race. It's been an hour now since the winner finished. And he goes out and he runs the race. And he limps through it. He has to walk parts of it. He struggles through, and he finally finishes that race. No platform, no trophy, no medal, no nothing. Afterwards, a reporter asked him, he said, "Why did you re-enter the race? Why did you finish the race?" And he says this, "Because my race was not finished. My country didn't send me 5,000 miles to start a race. My country sent me 5,000 miles to finish a race." Let me just be really honest with you. God didn't put URA Community Church here to just be another church. He didn't just put us here just so we could have some services with some good music and some comfortable chairs and our kids could be babysat for an hour or so and all of that. That is not why we're here. He put us here so that we could be a light in this community. He put us here so that people would have a place where they could love him more, where they could love other people more, and where they could love telling people the good news about him. You see, we have started a race, and we are nowhere close to finishing it. Are we going to fall out and quit? Or are we going to suck it up, and are we going to look and see what needs to be done, what part we can play in it being better, and for more people to hear about Jesus? What are we going to do with that to make this better, to make our relationship with him better? Just if you just look at it that way, what are you going to do? Because I believe if you make your relationship with God better, then all the other pieces of your that you play in being part of this church take care of themselves. Are you going to finish the race strong? We don't know when we take our last breath. We don't know when our race is over. None of us know. It could be over today. It could be over tomorrow. It could be over in 20 years from now. We don't know when it's going to be over. But by golly, are we going to wait and start running when we find out it could be close to being over? Or are we going to run it now when it because we just are committed to doing it? Jesus hung on a cross and said, "It's finished. It's completed. It's done." And for you and I, we get to hang out here with each other and in our comfortable surroundings, and we get to decide, am I committed? Or am I just going to let somebody else do it? God, we pray today that you would hear our hearts. God, I know this is a tough message. It wasn't easy to write, it wasn't easy to preach, and it probably wasn't easy to hear. But God, I believe that you didn't send your son Jesus to finish that task so that we could leave our task here unfinished. God, I believe you sent your son Jesus so that we could be made whole with you, that we could be restored in our relationship with you, to be all that you want us to be, God, to have to be able for us to know that we are forgiven of our sins, set free, forgiven, and that we have a relationship with you that lasts for all eternity. But God, I know that you've put us here with unfinished business of helping other people know that. You've given us a facility that is an amazing facility that many churches would love to have. God, you've given us people that have so many talents and skills and abilities and are just amazing people. God, I don't think you've done any of that by accident. I believe you've done that so that we could be a piece of this community. God, we have to ask ourselves, if you are a community church, close its doors today and never opened again and nobody ever came here again, would we be missed in this community? If we're the church that you want us to be, that I read about in the scriptures, God, if that's who we are, then God, I don't believe they would miss us. So God, I pray that you would reveal to us your plan and the things that you want for us, and the God that we would commit to doing that. God, you have opportunities out in front of us of being able to send kids to be able to go and share the gospel this summer. God, you've opened doors for people in this room to have interactions with people every day at work and at school and just wherever they find themselves, God. And God, I don't believe that those are accidents either. So I pray that you would challenge us, God, to be able to look at our lives and be all that you want us to be. God, sometimes messages are all make us feel all warm and fuzzy and just make us feel good about who we are and where we are. But today the message is, I believe, very clear. When we have to look at your son Jesus and the shape that he was in and him be able to cry, I finished, I've done it, I've made it, so that they can experience you, God. I think that there's a piece of us that needs to acknowledge it. God, we got to live differently if that's what we believe. So God, I pray today that we would be challenged beyond just the ordinary. God, I believe there would be people here today that have never made a decision to accept you as Savior, to accept you as that perfect Lamb that was crucified and paid the price for their sins, that acknowledge that was done for them, and acknowledge that Jesus was taken off the cross, put into a borrowed tomb, and raised on the third day, God. So not only could their sins be forgiven, but God, they could spend forever in heaven with you, God. And I pray today that if there's someone here who's never done that, this would be the day that they choose to do it. God, I pray today that they would choose to accept your son's sacrifice and to accept your forgiveness and be made whole with you. God, for those in the room that have made that decision before but have never, ever just really given themselves to you and never committed to go 100% for you, God, I pray today would be that day of commitment. If they never committed to allow you to use their talents full and just to be able to do all that you want to do through them, I pray today would be the day they would commit. God, there are people here that have been attending this church that have just kind of been on the fringes and sat in the back and sat, you know, lonely every day, that have taken, you know, walked out the door not plugged in, not wanting to commit. God, I pray today would be the day they commit to become a part of the body so that you can use everything you've blessed them with the way that you want them to. So God, I don't know what you want to do in our lives, every individual, but God, I know by what your scripture teaches that you want to do something. And you've left unfinished business with all of us. So God, today, may we each to ourselves acknowledge that and pray and ask you what it is that we need to finish. God, so that we don't leave any small holes for Satan to want to get in and mess with us, that we give all of us to you and let you be the one that fills the holes. So God, move in these next few moments as the band plays and as we just deal with what's on our heart and what you're doing in us. God, if we need to come and bow before you on our knees and just pray and ask you for your forgiveness, then God, may that be what we do. God, if we need to come and just ask, what is it that you want me to commit to? Then God, let us come. But God, may we not leave this place the same as we walked in. May we be challenged to commit to you today. In Jesus' name, amen.